Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the third video for the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll talk about the relation of the Old Testament to the New Testament and the unity of the Bible as a whole, and we'll explore the nature of that unity of the Bible. In this section, I want you to see the big picture of the Bible. I want you to see the unity of the Bible. I want you to see how it all fits together. I want you to see how the Old Testament helps us understand Jesus and the New Testament based on the relationship between them. You see, there have been some misconceptions about the relationship of the Old Testament to the church. Many people think that the Old Testament God is cruel and vengeful, while the New Testament God is loving and forgiving. But are there two gods? Or did God somehow radically change between the two parts of the Bible? No, that's a misunderstanding. In this course, you'll see that the Old Testament God is gracious, loving, and forgiving. And if you read the New Testament carefully, you'll see that the New Testament God is just and exercises wrath, just like in the Old Testament, because it's the same God. There's only one God of the entire Bible, and he has a consistent character. And many people teach that God had one plan, one way of dealing with the people in the Old Testament, and then a different one in the New Testament. These people think that the Old Testament was about law and the New Testament is about gospel, that the Old Testament people lived by works and the New Testament people lived by grace, that God has two different peoples. Israel was God's people in the Old Testament and the church is God's people in the New Testament. They think that God's people and plan somehow had to change to plan B in the New Testament because Israel somehow screwed up God's plan by their unbelief. And I believe that that view is mistaken as well. As we go through this course, I want you to see that God has one perfect plan that has been unfolding throughout history and comes to its climax in Jesus. All the Old Testament was leading up to Jesus, and Jesus and the church are perfectly in line with the Old Testament. The New Testament is the appropriate continuation of all that happened in the Old. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of all that was promised in the Old. Now, let's talk about the nature of the unity of the Bible, because it is one continuous story. This means we'll examine the nature of the history of the Bible as a whole. First, as I mentioned in a previous section, it is real history. It is real life connected with actual space-time universe. It's not myth. It's not virtual reality. It is a given reality to which we must conform. You see, the gospel is good news of God's acts, that is what he has done in the real world. It's not about our response. It's not about our experience. The truth is out there. It is objective truth that is true and real even if we don't believe it. It is true and real before we even hear about it and know it. There is only one foundation for the real subjective change in here, that I'm being changed to conform to the real world of what God has done in real life history. Second, the Bible is salvation history. It is the history of God rescuing and creating a people for himself. Because God is the center of the universe, and his work is the reason the universe exists. And God's great work is to glorify himself by rescuing us from our sin and rebellion against him. Therefore, Jesus, his cross and resurrection are the centerpiece of all history. Everything before the cross is leading up to it, and everything after the cross flows out from the center. Third, the Bible is prophetic history. That means that the history has meaning, and only God is qualified to explain why things happen the way they do. All history has meaning and purpose, but none of us is smart enough to figure it out on our own. Only God is authorized and able to give the meaning of the universe. And he has explained history, at least as far as we need to know. He has told us about his reasons. He's told us what he is doing in history. He has told us the meaning of the world and all that happens in it. He has told us the meaning of our life. Therefore, we should learn and believe what he has said about how and why our world is the way that it is. And fourth, because it is salvation history, working out God's purposes, all the Old Testament is preparation for Jesus. In the first video, we talked about how, in one sense, the Old Testament is all about him. The Old Testament is all preparation, leading toward the full revelation of Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the reason for everything, and Jesus is the goal to which all things are working. And Jesus is the ultimate explanation of everything that we'll study in this Old Testament survey course. But that brings about a major question for our interpretation and reading and understanding of the Old Testament. If indeed it is all about Jesus, how can we read it on its own history, which happened long before Jesus? Remember, on the one hand, we talked about understanding the Old Testament in its own history, on its own. We need to see it as they saw it in their own time, which means to see it on its own without Jesus, long before Jesus came on the scene. However, on the other hand, Jesus said it's all about him. So how can we reconcile these two things? How then should we solve this problem? How can we make the connection between the Old Testament and New Testament that does justice to both of these realities? Well, the first principle, I think, is to make the most natural connection, and sometimes that connection is not direct. Let me explain what I mean by an illustration. When you travel between two places, sometimes you can't go in a straight line from one to the other because of obstacles such as buildings or rivers or mountains. Rather, you follow the natural flow of the terrain. You go around obstacles and follow the existing paths and go across the bridges instead of trying to swim. In other words, you go where the roads are. And you get there by going to one point, then to the next point, and you eventually end up at your ultimate destination. In the same way, I'm suggesting, when we connect the Old Testament to Jesus, we should follow the natural progression of the Old Testament itself. Let me illustrate this with just one example. When we learn about the Old Testament tabernacle, we don't think that we have to relate every item of the tabernacle directly to Jesus. You see, not everything made of wood directly symbolizes the cross, and not everything colored red necessarily symbolizes Christ's blood. Instead, first, we should ask, how does this particular item function in the tabernacle and the tabernacle as a whole? And then we can ask, how does the tabernacle function in the life of Israel and in their relation to God? And then we can relate that to how Jesus now fulfills the function that the tabernacle once did, that is, to connect people to God's presence. In that natural way, you see how each item ultimately connects to and prepares for Christ. And we recognize this connection in the natural way that God has already connected them in history. And therefore, we're freed from trying to figure out and explain how each part of the tabernacle directly prefigures Christ and forced to come up with some tortured interpretation to explain it. Then the second principle is to read the Old Testament in light of the historical progression of God's revelation. That is, we follow how it actually happened in history. First, the events of the Old Testament happened. God was dealing with his people and revealing himself in his actions in history and in the writings of the Old Testament long before Jesus was born. God's revelation made sense and spoke God's message to them on its own terms without them knowing about Jesus yet. And then, later Jesus came on the scene and he often explained himself by using the Old Testament. He said things like, I am doing what the prophets spoke about. And the apostles explained Jesus by saying things like, he is like the Passover lamb, And he is the promised son of David, and he is our great high priest. So Jesus and the New Testament were explained by being fulfillment of the Old Testament. And then finally, they could look back and say things like, the old was a shadow of what was to come. And they could realize how all that had gone before had been preparation for Christ. And Jesus did say that it was all about him, and he taught his disciples how to see him in the Old Testament. So that threefold pattern is also how we should read the Old Testament. First, we can see the Old Testament without Jesus. In one sense, set aside Jesus and try to understand what the first people would have understood before they knew about Christ. Then, see Jesus in light of the Old Testament. See how Jesus and the New Testament fulfilled and completed what was first revealed to them in the Old Testament. And then we can go back and see the Old Testament in light of Jesus. We can go back to the Old Testament and see God's providential preparation and working all things toward what would eventually happen in Jesus. So the Old Testament speaks to its own time, and it also points forward to Jesus. So when we read the Old Testament, we must keep all of these three levels together in our minds in order to understand it most fully and most accurately. Now, let's review. All the Bible is one story. It has its unity in Jesus, who is the climactic revelation of the nature and character of God. We need to see the Old Testament on its own without Jesus, and then Jesus in light of the Old Testament, and then the Old Testament in light of Jesus. This then is how all the Bible fits together and how we can best understand it. Now, in the next section, we'll look at some concepts that help us to understand the main ideas of the Old Testament as a whole and see what God is accomplishing in the entire story. And I'll see you there. Thanks for watching.